And Linda Godfrey is going to stick around this hour. I'll have open lines next hour as we continue taking your calls and talking about Monsters Among Us right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with your phone calls and Linda Godfrey, and let's go right to the calls. Jerry in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
How you doing?
Good, Jerry. Good.
I hope you're having a good evening or day. And Linda, I've been a very long time fan of yours.
Perfect.
Thank you. I was in Pennsylvania at the time. And right about 3 miles west of Philadelphia International Airport. And the house I was in from the rear yard had a great view of Philadelphia skyline and to the west. And I always looked up at the sky ever since I was a child, whenever I went outside. First thing I always do.
I did that too, Jerry. It was addictive.
me too.
And I've had quite a few sightings. And they're always at night. And 2008. And the first one was in July. That I couldn't put a positive ID on. But I called my son out to see it. The second one, that was a daytime sighting. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And he had asked me to take him to the store to get him a gift for his girlfriend. It was December 23rd, right around 3:30. Clear skies, a couple puffy clouds. And the house was also in the approaching descent path of the airport. And so we walk outside, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing all these contrails and jets taking off. They were taking off at the time because of the winds. And I noticed these two white dots coming at me from west of Philadelphia, which would be Bucks County. And I know that there's Willow Grove Naval Air Station there. I've been there several times. And as I'm watching these things, my son's looking at me. He goes, "What are they?" And I said, I don't know. And as they're getting closer, they're not leaving a contrail. And they weren't even 1,000 feet high. But they looked like teardrops coming at me.
How many of them?
Two.
Two of them.
They were spears, and they had like a copper-colored band going around them, or a brass-colored band right in the center, but they didn't protrude, because when they got close enough to us, you could see that they were perfectly round. I would say maybe 35 feet in diameter. And the first, there was the lead one, and the second one was to the right and back a little bit. So if there were more of them, it would have made an echelon formation.
You know, and I had already thought, Jerry and Linda, that some of the things people were seeing might have been the testing of drones. But when they start talking about the shape, I don't think so. Linda, what do you think?
Doesn't sound like a drone shape to me. If
no.
They're perfectly round, you know, and then they had the metal bands on them, that sounds very different.
Well, these visitations that we're getting, why? That's the big question. What are they doing here? Did they genetically seed us? What are they doing? Are they monitoring us? What do they want?
I think that's a good question. You know, and I actually confessed in this book that I did have an incident once where I woke up, and it was morning. It was bright in the room. I wasn't completely, I had a little bit of sleep paralysis, and I looked over to the side of my bed, and there were three pretty well described as grays. That's the only way I can think of to describe them. the typical 4 foot high with the slit mouth and
yep.
the little noses and the big eyes, kind of milling about
That's
next
a
to
gray.
my bed. Pardon?
That's a
Yeah.
gray.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And I didn't feel like I'd been abducted or anything. I just felt like they were observing me, and as soon as they realized that I was awake, and I was frantically trying to kind of nudge my husband, who remained obstinately very, very sound asleep, and they immediately, as soon as they realized I was aware of them, paraded single file through the wall. And that sounds totally crazy, but it is so common. I have found so many other people who have described almost the exact same scenario. And I don't know what they wanted. I really don't. I didn't feel I was abducted. I didn't have my pajamas on backwards or anything like that. Everything was as it had been. I felt they just kind of came to take a look at me for some reason.
Did you ever stumble across shadow people stories?
Yes, actually. And I have a whole chapter in this book on shadow creatures.
Aha. All right.
Which are very, very much the same. And in fact, there was one place in particular where these two sisters have had a long-term talk about visitations by all sorts of creatures. And it started out by them seeing a shadowy 4 foot person walking through their kitchen. And then they began to see outside shadow creatures, like big dog-type creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I have another incident where a whole family, there was like a grandma and grandpa and a bunch of kids, and everybody was out working in the garden or doing things, and they all saw a very large, what they called a shadow dog, because it seemed almost completely two-dimensional. It walked a certain way, and then it turned so they could see it was just almost like paper thin, and then turned back the other way, and they could just make out eyes were the only feature that it seemed to have. And I have several other of these, and I don't know what to make of these either. The only thing I can think of is that in this case, maybe they are from another dimension where only two of their measurements, the height and the width, will measure into us. They appear two-dimensional, but they're actually from somewhere else. I don't know how else you would explain such a thing.
Let's go to Mark in Logan, Utah. Hi, Mark. Thanks for holding, and you're on the air with us.
Thank you, George. Hey, I've got a couple quick stories, but as for Sasquatch, I'm a God-fearing man. And I do believe there's scripture where Cain, when he killed Abel,
mm-hmm.
Jesus cursed him with dark skin and told him that he would roam the earth for time and eternity. Now, being a believer in mental travel, I do believe this is how what we think maybe Sasquatch is getting around. He can travel mentally
right.
from one spot to another. And he can also appear, and he may be very, very well be mortal. So that's what my thinking is on something that we can't kill, and there's no proof or evidence of him being alive. Now, the other thing about these dogs you're seeing, I am a truck driver coming through Ellensburg, Washington, over the pass of a high mountain. I saw in my headlights a pack of 12 to 15 animals.
Wow.
They had very bright eyes in the reflection of my lights. They were crossing in single file across the road.
Were they scattering or just making their way?
They were just making their way. Single file crossing a road. As I got closer to them, I could identify what I saw, which was a hyena with no hair.
Hmm. Were they on all fours?
Did they have what?
Were they on all fours?
Yes. And quite honestly, I'm an elk hunter. I get out and do quite a bit of hunting. I'm not too scared of things, but I saw these things, and they gave me a little bit of alarm.
You wouldn't want to be out of your cab during that time, huh?
No, sir. I did not want to pull over because they were just going down off the road as I got right next to them. And I thought, huh? I don't want to stop.
Were they large animals?
Yeah, they were very stocky, defined muscle, and they were grayish blue. And quite honestly, I've never seen this type of animal, never.
But hairless.
And they were hairless, yes.
What would that be, Linda?
They remind me a lot of the Texas blue dogs that at first were called chupacabras.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we thought maybe it was a sick dog or something like that, too.
Yeah, and it turned out that, you know, because this woman had preserved specimens of them, but that's exactly, they had a bluish sheen to their skin, and they were hairless. They had these weird meat pads on their hind ends that seemed to have no known purpose. And, I mean, she actually has a mounted, the woman who kind of discovered them has a mounted specimen and also had the head of one that she saved that could be sent in for testing. And it turned out that they were a mutation born of a red wolf and a coyote, I think, that just sort of formed this spontaneous hairless condition. But they did have that odd, very muscular body. There was even a really good film that a squad car had taken that was chasing one. They were, you know, so they were obviously breeding, and there was more than one around the area. So maybe you had the same mutation up there in on the other side of the country.
I guess that would be kind of shocking to see this. Wouldn't it, Linda? You're driving along, and all of a sudden you see something you've never really seen before?
Especially a pack of 12 of them. That's the part that really stuns me.
And single file, too.
Single file is really odd. Yeah. it's very, very eerie.
Let's go to John in Canada on the international line. John, go ahead.
Hello, it's Bartholomew.
Hi there, George. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Like I said in the first place, the very first time I phoned George, I don't make any of this stuff up. I'm not lying.
I believe you.
I don't embellish anything at all. But I wanted to mention, well, there's two things. I talked to you before about the little guy that was walking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted the lady to see what she thinks of it. He was about 4.5 feet tall, and I thought it was a little boy in his pajamas. And it was, let's see, 11:45. And I used to have a recorder in the truck all the time, or the car, whatever I was driving.
Yeah.
To film it, because I see so much weirdness. But I bumped it, and finally, like, it turned around. But when it left, excuse me.
Did you see its face, John?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the one I told you that had the double rows of teeth. But they were,
yeah,
like sharp.
But I mean, I want you to say it for Linda's benefit.
Yeah. And it had the double row of teeth, and they're all jagged and everything, like a shark.
And it looked like a human, right?
No, he was all covered in fur, head to toe, and
he was clothed?
Yeah, but from the distance where I saw him, just sitting in the car, or the truck, it was a four-way stop, so I had stopped. And he was just walking right down the center of the road, and so I thought, this is not, this is a little boy, he shouldn't be out.
What was that bell I just heard you, John?
Oh, my clock. I have one of those.
Sounds like the bell in the Scrooge movies.
It did.
Yeah.
You're not Jacob Marley by any chance, are you?
No. I'm his partner.
All right.
But anyway,
Scrooge.
It's just, what gets me is, I can't say it's strong enough, really, that there was no brush along the side of the road, and it was beautiful, wide open field, all mowed and gathered up, and it just walked.
But you said it had clothes on.
No, it had fur. I thought it was a little
boy.
Oh,
you thought it was a little boy with pajamas.
One of those funny pajamas suits with the feet in.
All right, and as you drove up to it and then past it.
No, I didn't go past it. I bumped into it.
You hit it?
Deliberately. I wanted to see its face.
Did you kill it?
Oh, no.
Did it run away?
It wasn't worried or scared at all. But
in your opinion, though, John, what do you think it was? A Bigfoot?
That's what I was wondering, if it was maybe a young one. But it had, for the size of it, it still had very, like, really short hair. But it was everywhere, all over its body.
What do you think, Linda?
Were the teeth pointed, or were they, you know, more broad like ours?
Hello?
Were the teeth pointy, or what?
Oh, yeah. There's one thing I want to mention, too, before you hang up, because it shouldn't be in our area. But, yeah, they went to a point. They were just like shark's teeth.
Well, that doesn't sound like a Bigfoot.
Okay.
I think also of little people, you know, a lot of the Native American, one name is the Pukwudgies, is a popular name.
There was no person when it turned around, because I bumped it four times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got to see its face, its eyes, and it opened it. It had his mouth stretched almost ear to ear. So you certainly wouldn't get bit by one. And the other thing I wanted to mention is we're not supposed to have cougars around here, or mountain lions, whichever you want to call them. Because, I'm in Ontario, Canada. I don't know, out west maybe they do, I don't know. But my wife and I, we were going to Price's job for a fella, and he lived way up the side road and down on the gully. Excuse me. And I said, Debbie, look. And it was a cougar and the cub. Full-grown, mother cougar.
Well, that happens. Of course, the cougar stories are natural. Those things do exist. I'm more interested in the little creature.
Right.
4.5 feet. Sounds, it's probably not an ape, but who knows what it is, Linda?
There's something called a devil monkey that's about that size and, has the fangs and is just, it's covered with fur the same way. That's the other thing that occurs to me. Other than, it doesn't really sound like a young Bigfoot with all the pointy teeth.
No, not with the pointy teeth.
The big wide mouth and everything. It reminds me of, I think it's Lauren Coleman's field guide to Bigfoot. The devil monkey is one of those described and illustrated in that book, and it reminds me of that.
All right, Linda, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with her. She's been gracious enough to stay an extra hour for us handling your phone calls. So many people are on hold for over an hour. I don't have the heart just to go on to open lines. We'll do that next hour, though. Next hour, we'll have open lines. This hour, we'll take the remaining calls with Linda Godfrey as we talk about her latest work, Monsters Among Us, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Godfrey with us. We're going to take final phone calls with Linda, and of course, her number of books are on Amazon. You can get her website by going to coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about Monsters Among Us. What, Linda, has been the strangest creature you think you've ever heard about, maybe saw, but that you've investigated?
Well, as far as heard about, I think it would have to be the church lady monster in this new book. It was a woman who, in front of an entire church full of people in Illinois, turned into a tall, furry, werewolf-like creature, except
wow.
Instead of paws, it had hooves.
Like a lamb or something like that?
Or a goat.
Or a goat.
Yeah, that's what it reminded this family of. There was a family, mom, dad, and two kids, sitting in the pew, the U-shaped church pew opposite this woman when it happened. And very reliable, salt-of-the-earth people. The dad was a Vietnam veteran. He said the closest thing he could ever recall seeing to that was when he was in Vietnam. They saw what sound kind of like smallish Bigfoot. He said they called them rock apes. They would chase them in their convoys and throw rocks at them. as they were riding, you know, in the open jeeps and things. But for oddness in a creature, that would have to be it. Something that looks like a werewolf is instantaneously covered with fur, and then there were a bunch of elders that kind of threw themselves on it, took it down on a pew, and it turned back into the woman. So, it's a completely bizarre episode, but I had them sign affidavits that what they saw and told me were true and factual. Everything they told me in terms of other correlating factors checked out. I interviewed them face-to-face a number of times. So they're as good witnesses, I think, as any I've seen. But what they saw was just truly, truly unusual.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Rob in East China, Michigan, first-time caller for us. Hey, Rob, go ahead.
First off, Mr. Norrie, it's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you, Robbie.
Godfrey, it's an absolute honor to speak with you. I actually spoke with you not too long ago online. You added me to Unknown Creature Spot.
Oh, that, okay, great, super.
Okay.
So, anyway, my question is in regards to three sightings in one of your older books pertaining to dogmen. The Palmyra, Maine incident mm-hmm. with the family, and an incident in Norton, Ohio, and another incident where I don't remember where it was at. My question is, in those three scenarios, it seemed like the dogman or the creatures were either trying to lure the humans outside, lure them outside, whereas in Norton, Ohio, they were luring them outside with the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And in Palmyra, when they turned the light on, the creatures were sneaking up upon them or kind of watching them. So my question is, do you believe that these creatures were actually trying to lure these people outside with intent to either harm or kill? Or do you believe that they were simply intrigued by us, such as how we are intrigued by them? Because most, as you know, most encounters, it seems like people are, running for their lives, it seems. So, but there doesn't seem to be too much attacks. I've only heard of one. So I just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, usually the creatures run off at the last second. Some people have, I've heard this idea too, that it's not that they want to, like, kill and devour the people, but that they sort of function almost as psychic vampires, in which they scare the people and then sort of feed off that negative energy somehow. I don't know if that's true or not, because in most of these instances, these creatures seem like the totally fully flesh and blood, upright canines. But I've had other stories. I've got another one that is even scarier in the new book, where it's the same sort of thing. This creature was started luring people in the family, the mother and the daughter separately, outside by, it would kind of wake them up from a sleep, and they would get up, and it was almost like they were sleepwalking outside. And in one instance, the daughter was outside and saw her brother beckoning to her from the woods, and then she happened to turn around and look at her house and saw her actual brother inside the house. And then when she turned back, it was the wolf-like creature, and she, it chased her. She made it up to the porch in time. But so in this case, it was able to change its appearance or else affect her view of it so that she perceived it as her brother when it wasn't. So I've had lots and lots of these situations where it does seem they're trying to get people to come outside. For what end, we can't really know, I guess. Maybe it does have worse plans, but not according to the reports I get. And there have been other researchers who've said, there have been incidents where people were torn apart or things happened, and that may be. I don't usually speak to those because I didn't investigate them myself. I don't know the facts. What I can say just concerns the reports that I've personally received over these, some 24, 25 years.
What do you think, Linda, of all these reports of portals? Would you advise people to step into them if one has been discovered?
Well, George, have you ever heard that old saying, Fools Rush In Where Angels Fear to Tread.
Oh, yes. It's a great song, too, by the way.
Yes. I tend to subscribe to that view of it. I mean, how do you know that you would be, how do you know the portal isn't to the surface of some really poisonous planet, or that you would be, that there would be air to breathe, or that our electromagnetic signature would be compatible with wherever that was. So I would not. Maybe I'd throw a rock in, see what happens, something like that. But I wouldn't go jumping in myself.
Tread carefully. Don in Kent, Ohio, you're with us now. Hi, Don, go ahead.
Brother George, happy Sabbath.
Thank you, sir.
Linda, I just have two opinions I need of yours. I know hard biblical questions, but with Planet X approaching and weird weather and such, is it possible that we have a tear in the dimensional fabric? And number two, Revelation 6:8, the fourth beast is a pale horse, and he has power over the fourth part of the earth to kill. And, you know, with 7 billion people on Earth, that, you know, he has the power to kill 1.5 billion with sword hunger death and with the beast of the earth. For these beasts to be mentioned in this kill-off, is it possible that this tear could usher them in?
Well, you're not the first person to ask similar questions of me as to whether these beasts are the final creatures mentioned in the Bible and whether the veil is tearing. I hear a lot of people telling me they sense that there's at least a thinning of the veil, you know, and that more things are being released onto the earth. And I'm a Christian. I believe in my Bible. I don't know if this is the time or not. It's really hard to say. And
you know, in Revelation 3:10, it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. In other words, the saints that will believe, it says, I'll also keep you from the hour of temptation will come upon the whole world to try them that are upon the earth. So we have a certain degree of protection just by our belief system.
Yeah, it's a very complex topic, and I'm a little bit...
Oh, no, that's okay. I understand. I wanted to leave you with this. Maybe you'll check it out. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20, Benaiah killed two lion-like men of Moab. These creatures have been around for millennia.
Yeah, there are a lot of these mentions. I mean, the Bible is pretty much full of spirit world, spirit creatures, flying creatures, creeping creatures, all sorts of them. And so it's definitely part and parcel of any Christian education is to look up all those things, I believe. But, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of backing for these things biblically.
Have you done a book on the Bible and creatures? That would be a pretty good one, I think.
No, but now that you've told my next book idea.
Yeah, that's right. You're ready
I actually have been thinking seriously about that just because I've been getting so many questions and people are so interested in this sort of thing, and you know, I really like my Bible, and I'd be very, I'm very interested in doing that. I've kind of been working on that a little bit as it is.
I wanted to get back to that Smith's Hayfield. That's not the real name, so you can't find it online or anything like that. But what do you think makes it so weird?
I do think it's partly the location, that one area between. It's kind of between Bray Road and Burlington, which is an area of high, high strangeness. There's something to that whole area, whether it's my medicine wheel idea or it's just the magnetism of what's there. I had a remote viewer tell me that he saw or received the idea that under that whole area runs a big line of unexcavated iron, which would interfere or play, wreak havoc on all sorts of magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields. Maybe that has something to do with it. Otherwise, you know, it's just a place where these things seem to come through.
We've got Randy truck driving in Oklahoma. Hi, Randy. Thank you for calling.
Hi, George. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thank you on both fronts.
I got a question for Linda, has she ever heard of the devil dogs in Texas?
Devil dogs in Texas, Linda.
Well, might you be thinking of those Texas blue dogs that we were talking about a little bit earlier?
It could be.
I'm not sure of separate devil dogs. You do hear about devil dogs in local folklore and legend all over the country. I know Wisconsin has, there's a place called Mary Dean where there's supposed to be devil dogs that come out at night. And it wouldn't surprise me if there were a bunch of devil dogs said to be roaming Texas in the same way. I should ask my friend Nick Redfern about that. He's down in Texas and kind of specializes in these things as well.
That would be an interesting take, devil dogs and other creatures like that. Do you come across the panthers, black panthers?
I do get those reported, yes. And, of course, they're not supposed to be anywhere either. You know, there's, but they are reported here and there, so, yeah.
With red eyes.
Oftentimes, mm-hmm.
You don't come across things that are demonic, though, do you?
Well, I don't know. That church lady thing that turned into something, really, if there was anything that fit the definition of a demonic...
possession or something.
Possession, that's the word. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes, that's exactly what that seems like to me. And many of these animals, one of the very first sightings in Wisconsin back in 1936, I'm still not sure exactly what it was, creature digging on a Native American burial mound near Jefferson, Wisconsin, and the night watchman encountered it. And he claimed at the time that he believed fully it was a demon straight out of hell. Those were his words. So there, I try to go by what the people describe, what the people who see it, because they are there and I trust their instincts. And I often do hear that term.
We have Marlo in Long Beach, California now. Hello, Marlo.
Hi, good evening to you both.
You too.
Hi.
Ms. Godfrey. I want to thank you for sticking around and talking to us, the hangers on here.
My pleasure.
Mr. Norrie, thank you for your service to the military and
thank
the country
you,
and continued service here for your listeners.
Thank you.
I have just a series of observations, which I always have when I listen to this program, but for some reason tonight I've been compelled to write them down.
All right.
And they're just observations. They have, may have no value whatsoever, but something is telling me to talk to you, so I've stayed on the line to do just that. So
great.
Please bear with me. The first one has to do with the UFO sighting that, Ms. Godfrey, you recounted to us about a basketball-sized sphere mm-hmm. of light.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tried to describe how it disappeared, I guess. You used the word imploded and then a delayed disappearance. And what came to mind to me was several months ago, there was a gentleman on here describing a similarly sized sphere of light that as he described it, and he's of the generation of Mr. Norrie and myself, as the old TV, the CRT TVs, when you turn them off, there was this reduced center of light that
right.
then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And
That was very much like it, yes.
And to me, what that sounds more like than, and this applies to all of the light-based observations, is it sounds more like a projection rather than a physical entity that there. It's light present, mm-hmm. like you would do if you projected a hologram or a television image. And I think what you described, as soon as it recognized you were there, you shined a light on it or something.
Right.
It acknowledged that your presence and then a delay and then the disappearance. And
yeah, I think that's a brilliant and sensible observation. I think that's great.
Later on in the show, you also described a projection that looked 2D rather than 3D.
Mm-hmm.
When they turned to their side and it became mm-hmm. much thinner than it should and then it came back. That sounded to me more like a projection as well.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right in both counts. And it would be a very handy way for someone surveilling the Earth to have some sort of a projection, maybe like a light form drone, a drone light. Or a drone light.
There are so many unexplained things out there, Linda. Just so many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad we've got researchers like you who really dive into this. You, with a journalistic background, make it even more palatable, I think.
Well, thank you. I do.
Will we get these answers? Will we really get the answers to what these creatures might be?
You know, I wish I could give you a definitive answer and say, oh, yes, you know, we're going to find out. I keep hoping that with better and better instrumentation and, you know, things like the little cameras that you can get now on your frame of your glasses where you just tap it, that people can have a quicker reaction time to take photos.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, I'm not sure that technology is going to do it. It seems that whatever these things are, they're one step ahead of us, and they'll probably stay one step ahead of us.
Linda, I want to thank you for being on the program. You know, you've always got that free invite whenever you want. Just pop on.
Well, thank you.
Linda Guthrie, in the name of her book, the most recent one, Monsters Among Us. Now, I'm going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Open Lines, so get ready to make the call. Let's try to stay away from the politics tonight if we can. We'll, you know, use that for the middle of the week. We'll be back.